don't know how many of you have spent any time in the book of Proverbs, and I'm not going to try to cover a lot of Proverbs tonight, but it is a packed book. A proverb is a short statement based on an accumulative amount of experiences over a period of time. If you read through the book of Proverbs, you can't, you know, you don't have like a section of 10 verses in a chapter that primarily deal with the same thing. You can go from one verse to the next, and it's a whole different set of things, but deep truths. And I'm just going to highlight one tonight and go from there. It's found in the 29th chapter of Proverbs, verse number 18. In the King James Version, it reads, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." In my New King James Version, it reads, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law." And I wrote down what Peterson says in the Message on this particular verse. He has, "If people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But that when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed." And I want to tonight, I know this verse is often used in relation to like a gathering, a community of believers, the fellowship of believers, and the challenge that a vision is given, a perspective for the whole community of believers to let God speak in a certain way, and that be a challenge. But I want to try to help us to personalize it a little bit more. I personally believe, and I think it's borne out in Scripture, and I'll show it to you tonight, that we individually need a fresh glimpse of God and His working. And when that happens, it helps us to see our own selves in proper perspective to what's going on in our lives, and then helps us to see God working through our lives and our lives bearing witness to touch, influence, reach, help others. You notice these different translations. The indication is in the King James, if there isn't a vision, then there's a perishing perspective takes place, an emptiness, a futility, a waste. In the New King James, if there is not a fresh revelation or a fresh revealing of God, people become careless. They cast off their restraint. Peterson says, when we do not see God, we stumble all over ourselves. So, what we're wanting to try to do tonight is to quicken us in these three areas that we need frequently in our own walk a God glimpse. Now, that's my terminology. I didn't read that anywhere. I hope it's solid biblically. I don't mean that you're going to see God as such. What I mean is that you catch a glimpse of God's hand and work and will in your life. And this needs to take place frequently, not just on occasion. And it has to be a personal thing. It can't just be my feeding off somebody else's inspiration. He wants to show us, give us glimpses of what He desires to do, what is ahead, what He wants to work in our lives. I'm going to give this probably a clumsy illustration, but I'm going to use it. All of you have had children, or many of you have, most of you are grandchildren. And you sit down with a storybook. They're there beside you. There's pictures, there's words you're reading. They're looking at the pictures. Next thing you know, they reach over and catch a corner of the pages of that book. They want to look and see what's way out there at the end. They want a glimpse of what's going to happen in that story. And of course, you know, especially if you're a grandparent, you probably flip over there and say, okay, we'll look at those pictures, then let's go back and read. I believe God wants to give us a glimpse of what He wants to work in our lives. If that doesn't happen in our lives, we have a tendency to bog down in the routine stuff and to become pretty much self-focused instead of God-focused and to see what He desires. We need a God glimpse, and that enables us to have a new perspective of ourselves and what God is doing and desires to do in our lives. And then that carries on over into allowing God to use us effectively as an influence to touch other lives. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter. And you know the setting. It's the occasion when Jesus is ministering to the woman, at the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And we know the account of that. We know the setting, that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, but Jesus reaches out to this woman. And then she recognizes and realizes that he is the Messiah, the promised one. And she returns, she goes back to the city to tell the other Samaritans that she, come see the man that told me everything that I've done. Well, while she's gone, the disciples show up because they'd gone to get some food for Jesus to eat. Verse 27 and following in this 4th chapter, let's look at it. At this point, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? Now here's what I want you to look at, beginning at verse 34. Jesus said, here is God incarnate now. Here is Christ with the perfect perspective, perfect vision. But He's in human flesh, and He's there with the disciples. So this is a real live physical situation. Listen to what He says. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. There is the perspective, the perfect perspective of Christ Himself and His mission and His vision and His purpose. Then He goes a little further. Now He's attempting to try to enable these disciples to get a new vision of what he really was about and what their journey should be about. Listen to what he says. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? And by the way, this event probably was taking place about mid-December, so it was not right then, harvest time. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, or at the fields. They are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and they have entered in. You have entered into their labors. Jesus attempting to try to help the disciples catch a vision of the mission, the need of these Samaritan people, used the analogy of a harvest field. The fields were not literally white with harvest. It was mid-December. Jesus wasn't talking about literal grain that was ready to be harvested. But he was talking about Samaritans coming that way that needed a Savior. And he wanted the shackles to come off of his disciples' eyes so they could see it's a harvest. It's harvest time now. Now, you know, wrapped up in this is all this prejudice. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And then they were shook up that he even took time to sit down and talk with the Samaritan woman. And then their mind was on the material, the temporal things. Food, you got to eat. Here's some food. And Jesus was saying, oh, but catch a perspective, catch a vision of what it's really all about. Here's the tremendous need. Samaritans, Gentiles, they need harvest. They need a Savior. They need what this Samaritan woman needed. They need to drink at the fountain of living water. Scripture doesn't tell us at this point how much of that actually sunk in. But I'm using this particular setting to try to bring home that in each of our lives, if we're not careful, the most important thing is, here's something to eat. Here's my job I have to do. Here's the next responsibility. Oh yeah, I had my devotions this morning. Read the Bible and prayed and read a devotional book. But now here's what I... Here. Once in a while, in fact, more than once in a while, we need a God glimpse. We need Him to lift our eyes and look and really see what the journey's about. You see, there's such a tendency, it's a double-barreled gun, and one of them's pointing at the preacher. We get bogged down. We get bogged down in the essential busyness. And if we don't have that glimpse of what God wants to do through our lives, and that doesn't run us on and grip and lay hold in the innermost of our being, then these something to eat, job to go to, it will just consume us. The central thrust of us as Christians with Christ in us is that we should have Christ vision, God glimpses, a perspective beyond that is so temporal and fleeting and passing. When that's true, then a lot of the mundane and trivial and routine stuff doesn't get so mundane and trivial and routine. It's brought into the whole perspective of I'm on this journey, I'm in this place because my perspective is that God is doing the thing and He wants to work through my life at this point. So we need those times when we catch a glimpse of the God perspective, a vision of what God intends for our lives. Otherwise, we will perish, we will stumble. We will cast off restraint, that is that keeps us close to the heart of God. Now, I'm sharing this with you tonight because somehow I would to God that it would happen in each of our hearts in a very personal way. I wonder what would happen on a Sunday morning, Pastor, if as people gathered, 75% of them had a God glimpse that week. You'd have sparks flying. You'd have people transformed. You'd have miracles taking place. And let me just throw in here, you know, don't always show up expecting that you're supposed to get something. Come to give something. Something of yourself. Because you've touched heaven. Because God has touched you. And He's showing you a new perspective. And so you've come to let Him flow through you and to give of yourself to others. Well, usually you go to the Old Testament and then the New, but I'm reversing that tonight. And some of you probably know where I'm going, but I want you to go with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. For here you have a clear picture of what I'm trying to say tonight. You see, let's go back now we often call it the Old King James, but anyhow, it's the King James. It's not really that old. It's only 400 years old, 500. Where there is no vision, where you don't have a vision, where you don't have a fresh revealing of God in your soul, where you do not see God working, revealing, perish, cast off restraint, stumble. In the growth pattern of the Christian life, we need to let God nudge us and touch us and open us up so that we could see what He is doing and wanting to do through our own personal lives. I do not say this and I hope you don't gather it in any selfish way. I'm not talking about a self-centered thing. I'm talking about so centered in God that He can use you as a person in the effective way that He desires to. Isaiah had already prophesied prior to chapter 6. Isaiah was an upstanding and good citizen. Isaiah had already known the touch of God upon him before this fresh vision of God in chapter 6. He had made a prophetic utterance, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God had already touched him. But here's a man who had
got a new God glimpse. He had a new vision. He had a new perspective of God. He came in kind of a crisis time, and a lot of times that's the way it is. You know, however ideally we should so long for God and all that He desires that it doesn't have to always be crisis time before He can crack through on us and do what He wants to do. Here's Isaiah. He had placed quite a bit of confidence in a certain king. I know about Uzziah, and at the end of his reign that he had tried to go in where the priests were, and God punished him for it, but as a whole he had been a good king, and Isaiah had put a lot of confidence in him, and he died. And that seemed to bring a moment of crisis in Isaiah's life. But what it did was enable him to look higher beyond an earthly king. Please do that in relationship to November. You've got to look higher. You have got to look higher, folks. Are you hearing me tonight? You have got to look higher. Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He still reigns. And He still reigns in America. Because He reigns in the whole world. But Isaiah got his eyes above an earthly king and caught a glimpse of the King of Kings. He caught a new glimpse of God. He saw Him high and lifted up, the transcendent God, but he also saw Him as His train filled the temple, the God of intimacy, the God who comes right where we are and touches us right at our point of need at the time of our point of need. Praise His name. He desires to come and reveal Himself, give us a glimpse of Himself in relationship to where we're journeying, and enable us to know He's God and He's still in control. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He caught a new glimpse of the holiness of God. The seraphim's crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." I think he almost caught a glimpse of heaven. Go to the 4th chapter of Revelation, you know. And can't think of who they are right now, but the seraphims, I don't know if they're called seraphims there or not, but anyhow, they're going through the corridors of heaven and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Heaven, you know, is a place of, the atmosphere of heaven is perfect holiness. Isaiah caught a new glimpse of God. I know in my own journey, I need to catch a new glimpse of who He is and His holiness. Then it helps to get in perspective some of the stuff that's so unimportant, really. When he got a new glimpse of God, he had a new perspective of himself. Someone said he had a new upward look, he had a new inward look, and he had a new outward look. What he saw was something lacking in his own completeness in Christ, in God. And he cried out, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Why? Because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When he saw a new vision of God, then he saw a new perspective of himself and his deep need. We need that frequently. You need it, sanctified people. You need a new glimpse of God's holiness. Amen. I get a little concerned because we, bless God, I'm saved and sanctified. A friend of mine in college testified, he'd say, "I'm saved, sanctified, and satisfied." He'd say that every time he testified at college church. And there is a satisfying portion, but there's a danger that we become locked in to identifying two crises, and there's no new dimensions of the revealing of the fullness of His holiness that is gripping us and flowing through our lives. He saw His undoneness related to His tongue, to His lips. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And immediately his need was met. One of the seraphims took a live coal from off the altar and touched his lips, said, thy iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Then he had a new glimpse of others. The Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And immediately Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Have you ever read the rest of that chapter? The Lord told him, they're not going to receive what you say. You're going to be rejected. But Isaiah had a glimpse of God working in his life. And so regardless of acceptance or rejection, regardless of what was going to take place, he followed through in obedience to God. Well, we live in difficult times. We live in troubled times. We live in complicated times. But I believe we live in times when God still desires to come and show us Himself in new and fresh ways. Does your heart hunger for a new God glimpse? For a new sense of His working in your own personal life? Not just gleaning off of what somebody else is doing. Not just depending upon some inspiration you get from the services, and you should get inspired in the services. There needs to be that personal God glimpse. When we see Him have a fresh vision of His working in our lives, then we see ourselves in a new way. And God can do what He needs to do. We talk a lot about change. He can do through us what He desires to do so that our lives will truly be effective in bearing witness to His great grace in our lives. There are an awful lot of different types of circumstances that come to us that may, you know, push us to seeking the face of God. A lot of them, when they're happening, we don't understand. But if we'll let God speak at those times, He can show us what He's doing in our lives. And we can depend on Him in the long run to work out His perfect will. I had one of those times few years back. And this was a crisis time. And some of you remember the occasion. But all of our family had gathered down there in Adrian for July the 4th. And we were having a cookout. And at that time, my second son had a little son, my grandson, Christopher, only about 18 months of age at that time. He was just walking good and, well, he was a joy. He was always laughing and always happy. And we had a little fish pond around in the back of the house with some fish in it and a fountain flowing up in the middle of it. And he loved that little fish pond. I was grilling some chicken on the carport, and he had gone, walked around this side. I knew where he was going, so I called to him. Said, Christopher, come back. And he did. He turned around, came back, and he went around the other way. And I kept on, you know, grilling the chicken. And maybe about 5 minutes later, Anne cried out, Christopher! And she went running. When she got to that pond, he had slid down into it She pulled him out, and we did everything we knew, called 9/11 and all that. But he was gone, just like that. We had lost that precious little grandson. Well, that was crisis for me. That was crisis. I didn't sleep much that night, of course. But in that crisis, God came and spoke. He spoke to me from the Psalms, 63rd Psalm. And this truth that He spoke keeps still being effective today. He said, "My loving kindness is better than life. My loving kindness is better than life." And it was this, as if God was saying to me, my loving kindness is not limited to the duration of human life. It expands right on out into eternity. Whether you understand it or not, David, my loving kindness took Christopher into my eternal arms, because the life I have for him in the eternal perspective is better than the journey of life that it would be here. That was a God glimpse for me. I had to have him explain it to me. But it has helped me to have a new perspective on the journey and the duration of what can happen in the journey, when it may end. None of us know when that may end. It may be 18 months, it may be 18 years, or 80. But God has a perfect plan, and it helped me to understand more clearly the dimension of His loving kindness. And I say this carefully, but I recognize now, some 11 years later, that indeed it was the loving kindness of God that took Christopher right on in to heaven. But it's helped me in standing by those in the valley of the shadow of death, whether young or old, to realize that God, in His great, unlimited loving kindness, encompasses eternity. And when if we will recognize that, it's not quite as painful to release that one and know that in God's perspective, He has the long view, the long perspective in view. I know in my own heart I need God glimpses. He shows me areas in my own life that need to change, become more conformed to His image, but it also helps me to have a more clear perspective of His reaching through my life to others. Have you had a God glimpse recently? I don't mean that. Have you read your Bible and prayed today? Have you had a glimpse of the God that is in charge, that's in control, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have you had a God glimpse? Where you're walking right now, do you need a God glimpse so that you can have the perspective that'll help you walk right on and say, you know what you're doing, and I'm trusting you. And allow it, oh God, allow it to be that you can, through my life, touch somebody else.
Going back to the scripture there in the fourth chapter of John, my perspective, and I may be wrong, but I don't believe at that particular moment the disciples grasped what Jesus was trying to say. But we know that later on, revival broke out in Samaria, and the Gentiles were swept in, and you and I have been privileged to be the result of that. But we need to have a God glimpse and a new self perspective so that we can have a right perspective of others and God's working through us. I want us to stand and bow our hearts in a moment of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. You have spoken to my heart. If you haven't spoken to anyone else, but I trust the Holy Spirit has taken the feeble, stumbling words and touched someone. Lord, help us not to be so numb or so busy, so stifled or so stubborn that you can't show us a glimpse of you. And then whatever you show us and you reveal to us as we see you and your perfect will, that whatever changes need to be made in our own journey, we'll make them so that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May you be blessed. You are dismissed.